The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Tonight we are talking all about the stars and what they hold for us for the next few months. So we have the phenomenal and beautiful astrologer Jean Wiley with us tonight. But before that, we're going to be talking about some new discoveries around weight reduction and some really terrific news about reaching successful and active living in our 80s and 90s and even beyond. This news kind of spits in the eyes of the medical profession, who says we naturally are going to slow down. Well, get ready to change your mindset on growing older and weight loss right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Here's an update on our cruise of a lifetime to Mayan country. Royal Caribbean Cruise Line will not be raising the rates for the time being. And we have a special announcement that Lee Harris will actually be singing on the cruise. So not only do we have Law of Attraction coach Constance Arnold, astrologer Jean Wiley, channel psychic Lee Harris, we are also introducing holistic coach Enzo Giovanni to you as well. Plus, we may be tossing in a special hypnosis session on releasing the fears that block you from reaching the stars. So sign up today by going to lawofattractioncruise.com. That's lawofattractioncruise.com. Okay, we are back. Just in time for our cruise, I want to talk about weight reduction. As a hypnotherapist and using myself as a guinea pig, I have discovered something that was missing in weight reduction plans that you're seeing running through America and elsewhere. There are some terrific organizations such as Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers that help you take off the weight. But the problem is that as soon as you stop the program and return to regular food, the weight comes back on. So this is just a temporary fix to an age-old problem. We need to return to the law of attraction premise of what you think you are. What this means is that all these wonderful organizations that do work in releasing the weight do not address the emotional and energetic reasons that caused the weight gain to begin with. I'm always telling my smoking cessation clients that smoking is only 10% physical addiction and 90% emotional. Once we weed away all those emotions through hypnosis, it's so simple to put down the cigarettes permanently. Well, the same principle holds true for weight reduction. As many of you may remember, I lost about 30 pounds using hormone-free HCG, which was absolutely fabulous. But I experienced some side effects such as mood swings, and at times I felt miserable. And when I achieved my goal weight, it only took a matter of months before I started to pack it back on again. Now, because there were so many positive things with HCG, such as no hunger, eating real food, and great energy, I tried it again. And then again. Each time I added more hypnosis to it. Now I have finally got it down to perfection. My HCG and hypnosis package really, really works, and it is permanent. My clients are loving this, so I want to share the secrets of weight loss with you right now. Far more important in weight loss is the emotional and energetic component aspects of releasing the weight. When you begin eating real food, it will release toxins in your cells that have built up over time, allowing those emotional issues to come to the surface. That's why so often you feel miserable while you're dieting. Before, we were eating processed foods with sugar as we ate our emotions down. And we all know how great it feels to eat those desserts, those cheeses, those dairy products, and pasta. And it's not that we ate so much. It was the toxins that enhanced our already fragile emotions that we were trying to eat away. In other words, no matter how badly you wanted to reduce your weight by setting out on a wonderful new regimen, if you are not prepared to deal with those emotions that are locked into your cells, it will be very difficult and frustrating to release the weight. And this is because you feel like you're sacrificing by not eating what you want. And that is more detrimental to you than eating. It can completely sabotage your efforts and accomplishments. This is where hypnosis comes in. It's a fast and easy way to weed out these emotions that help you to become lighter and more in tune with your body and your emotional states. We're talking about everything across the board, your relationships, your perceptions of yourself, and what you are doing in life. So if you're serious about weight reduction permanently, then let's address the emotional issues that pop up while the toxins are being released from your cells. Let's conquer these emotions so that the need to comfort yourself completely disappear. There will be no need for willpower, only the need to enjoy your life free of the emotions that caused you the problems to begin with. So check out my weight reduction hypnosis program with hormone-free HCG that includes supplements and a wonderful formula called Hydrate that you simply put into your water to drink. I have two great programs. One is with HCG products with four hypnosis CDs, and the other is three personal hypnosis sessions with the four CDs and HCG products, in which we go into your individual needs and releasing of those emotions that caused you the problems to begin with. Make the investment into your inner self and your inner beauty. Let's rid yourself of the blocks and extra padding you use to protect yourself. So go to lawofattractiontools.com for more information or contact me at jules@loaradionetwork.com. You will be absolutely amazed by your success in creating a brand new reality. It really worked for me and all my local clients. They love it. Remember, lawofattractiontools.com. On with our feel-good news. Tayo Portia Lynch just turned 87 when she fell outside a grocery store and broke her hip. After her hip replacement surgery, her doctor wanted to have a little chat. He told the lifelong yoga enthusiast to get used to the idea that her body would never quite be the same. She'd just have to slow down a bit, be easier on herself, grow accustomed to doing less than she might like. Well, she considered the advice and said, "No way." 1 month after her surgery, she wandered into a ballroom dancing studio and started lessons that very night. Today, at the age of 93, She and her 23-year-old dance partner are sweeping ballroom dancing competitions in New York, New Jersey, and Puerto Rico. She's also continuing to teach at least 12 yoga classes a week. She said, "I sent my doctor a photo of myself lifting myself off the ground with my legs crossed and balancing on my hands, along with a little note that says, 'I just wanted to show you that there's nothing you can't do. Don't tell me I can't do it.'" And the doctor laughed and put the picture up in his office. Well, kudos to that doctor. Her determination is striking, but these days it's not entirely uncommon. Geriatric specialists say longevity is the new normal, so perhaps it's inevitable that more and more people are achieving stunning physical accomplishments well into their 80s, 90s, and beyond. Last October, Lou Hollander became the second 80-year-old to compete in the grueling annual Ford Ironman World Championship in Kona, Hawaii. Likewise, Olga Kolteko, a 92-year-old track and field champion from Canada, has been deemed one of the world's greatest athletes. She holds more than 20 records for track and field events, and she's been studied extensively because of her enduring physical proudness. In less rarefied but still impressive realms, it's increasingly common to see participants in their 70s and 80s at marathon, triathlons, and long-distance cycling events across the country. There are also senior baseball leagues, senior softball leagues, senior swim teams, even senior rodeo events. Now the medical profession says that this phenomenon is caused by your parents. Aging has to do with genetics. Well, I call this hogwash. If it was true, then after all these years on planet Earth, we would be living to the age 500 by now. But doctors are starting to realize that healthy lifestyle choices, regular physical activity, spirituality, loving relationships, solid friendships, a genuine sense of community, a real passion and enthusiasm for life may actually be the key. So what I'm seeing is that the medical profession now is sort of admitting that emotional well-being may actually be the catalyst for vitality in aging. And here's what I'm going to say about all of this. When we love what we do, we will continue on. It's called the law of attraction. Oh, gosh. That is good news. So let's bring on our good friend, astrologer Jean Wiley, who's going to tell us what the stars have in store for us in October, November, and December 2012. You can check out Jean's website at jeanwiley.com or check out her wonderful monthly YouTube videos. Welcome back, Jean, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Hi, Jules. I can get used to this. You're such a pleasure. I'm going to jump right in, okay? Because,
yeah.
You know, I'm not known for my superfluousness. And you know, big news, and we're going to talk about the energies for the remainder of the year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the big news is in October 5th, we have Saturn shifting signs, and Saturn's been transiting through Libra the past two and a half years. And you know, in Libra, we've learned about themes of social equality and marriage equality, no politics. And, you know, Saturn broke up marriages and partnerships because of anything that had some underlying unfairness or that wasn't truly balanced. If people couldn't negotiate the nuts and bolts of relating, because Saturn is our reality. I think of it as the Earth planet. Being on planet Earth is what about its structure and societal norms and a status, and you know, following the laws of nature. And so Saturn's emphasis in Libra has been all about the themes of relating. And also people who are seeking that social commitment and status of being married, which Saturn is the ultimate, you know, sign on the dotted line energy. But now Saturn is shifting into Scorpio, where we know we have the North Nodes currently transiting. And the nodes set up our eclipse patterns. And eclipses are always interesting to note because that's when things happen. Things that we've been pondering, things that we've been gestating about, creating inwardly, right? Holding the vision, tending to our world, being the true author of our life. Eclipses come about and are great catalysts for bringing things in as well as washing away that which is no longer needed, that is outworn, that is not part of our soul growth. So eclipses are really, really important for our evolutionary development as souls on this earth plane. And so the nodes set up the eclipse patterns. And nodes are about dharma karma axis. And with the North Node transiting through Scorpio as well, that gives Scorpio added influence and impact as far as our lessons and our dharma, right? Because the Buddhists call dharma right living. And, you know, one would even say an ethical template in which to work from and where we should be growing, even if it feels unknown, uncomfortable, a bit scary. The nodes prompt us in encouraging our developmental levels. And with Saturn there, that puts a lot of energy into one sign. So Scorpio and Capricorns are strongly highlighted over these next couple, 2.5 years, because Saturn will be in Scorpio until the end of 2014, with a retro back in mid-June to mid-September of 2015. So if we know that Saturn is about form and structure and limitation and our reality, but not the ultimate reality, you know, we have laws, societal laws, then we have spiritual laws. Saturn's very much about our societal laws. And Scorpio is the sign of shared assets and merging, whether it's people getting married or corporations merging.
Or businesses, brand new business partnerships going on.
Right, right. Any kind of merging of resources other than just your own. Taxes as well. With Saturn, my feeling is that we're certainly going to be dealing with a more conservative approach in banking and lending and property matters, insurance, inheritance, sex, and maybe even sexual disease.
Really?
Because Pluto's transit of Scorpio is when AIDS, you know, back in the 80s, right? So Saturn's coming on the heels of that, and we may see some different ways of handling and even a resurgence of that topic, condition, reality in our world. This is also a good time to pay off debt, to handle the details, to be uber responsible. Also to be what I will call conservative, which I don't think is any new sense of reality for people, but conservative in that, you know, Saturn, when it's moving into a sign, it's kind of like driving a new car. We have to get used to how it handles and our interaction with it. And with Saturn, we're often initially, especially the first 6 months, I'll assert, even first year, we're dealing with things going away because it's things that are no longer needed. And to use the word superfluous again, and what we are left with is what we need to focus on. Mm. And Scorpio is a sign that can be known for its fear of losing power, too. Because Scorpios kind of get a bad rap, but Scorpios who have done their work and are following their journey are absolutely delightful souls, because they lose that fear and also the need to control. Because control is what can also often get us in trouble, right?
Right, right.
Thinking that we can control things out there. Whereas real empowerment is there's no greater power than the acceptance of loss, too. There's graceful surrender, where we realize that this is not going to be an avenue of security or substance or longevity, but that's useful. That's real security, though, too. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It's pinning our hopes on something or a false sense of what will give us security. Saturn moving into Scorpio can be kind of a reality check in those areas, security and power. So, you know, at its highest, this is emotional honesty about how, why, and where we spend and accept resources, including money, emotions, sexuality, intimacy, because Scorpio rules sex and the sharing and the merging of set. And Saturn requires, right, an honesty, a getting real about where you are and what the situation is. Mm-hmm. So increased honesty about what you're paying for and what you're getting. Are there strings attached? Is there something more to this? Sexual exchange. What are the surrounding pieces, bits, areas, issues, which surrounds the coupling and the merging of people? So, emotional honesty about these pieces will be part of the collective lesson over the next, 2.5, 3 years ahead. And it brings responsibility, and it removes what is unnecessary to get us to focus on what truly matters: sexual activity, shared resources, as well as the government's role in using our money, which is taxes, right?
Right. Is that going to improve? Please tell me.
Well, ideally, it would be stronger accountability.
Ooh.
Okay. In the tunnels of power.
Keep our fingers crossed on that one, yeah.
That manifests in a number of different ways. But here's, something I'd like to put forth as a possibility, if it resonates for your listeners, as a way of working with this, especially, as we're getting used to the road conditions, to use metaphor. And that would be, be prepared to lose something. And maybe what you're losing is a sense of control over something that perhaps you really never had control over in the first place. And then to focus on what's left. To confront what scares you. That's a biggie.
The fear. The fear.
Fear. Biggie, and if you believe, as I do, that we are on this planet to overcome fear and negativity.
Wow. Amazingly, the network has been doing this love sound frequency energy healing every day at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And it's been designed through music and all the energy healers to really get in there and release this fear that keeps us from moving forward. So it's really, it is divinely inspired that we should be doing this right now at this particular time, astrologically.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I'll even assert, and I think we spoke of the Uranus-Pluto square, right? And with Saturn and Libra, we were dealing with the T-square on top of that. So things were extra edgy in our reality base. I mean, because Saturn flushes up the fears. But Saturn's moving on into Scorpio and is actually moving into nice relationships with the big dogs, Pluto, Neptune, and also the beautiful healing centaur planet, Chiron, which I don't even like to call Chiron a planet. I like to called Chiron, the avenue for healing, where we can connect all these big energies in and bring it. It's kind of like a translator for our human mind or sense of the situation. And so Saturn's going to be helping bridge some of these immense changes that have been going on the past 3 years. And we've got another Saturn Uranus square this month in September. It's on the 19th. It's the second of seven. It's 6 degrees between Capricorn and Aries. Mm-hmm. And now Pluto's moving direct. Uranus is retrograde. So another level of release, breaking through. But this is absolutely about awakening to the dogma and conditioning of society, of our family, politics, this and that. You know, everything telling us who we should be. And that creates a lot of fear. That's why I always encourage people to turn off the television, number one. I mean, just,
yeah,
you know.
Turn on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Listen to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Tune into YouTube and watch Gene Wiley, and so you can get rid of your fear. You know, really, there's so many other alternative ways that we can release our fears or at least get inspired to do that. So you're absolutely right. We need to take the step.
Well, yeah, and part of that is, you know, digging around the archives, too, because, as you know, I'm a believer in positive thinking. But we can also walk around and want to think positive thoughts, but not get access to where those thoughts came from. You know, so getting below the surface to peel away the layers. So as a great mentor of mine said, so it can bleed out. Things bleed out so it can really heal. You know, like abscess tooth or something. You've got to get in there and let it out so that it, you know, not just putting a little cap on the top of it because it's still there. So this is deep work. And for people, it occurs in fits and starts, and there's different triggers. And with that, I'll segue on to, you know, Neptune and Chiron in Pisces, which it's beautiful energy because I really feel that we're going to be seeing more of a renaissance in the arts and music. Musicians, actors, composers, artists of all kinds, people seeking simpler pleasures that feed the soul. You know, I've always said music is the language of the soul, and a desire to connect on a deeper level without all of the artifice and posturing of you know, this past age that we're moving out of. And Chiron is all about healing and providing that dialogue, because often when we're undergoing Pluto transits too, we can get emotionally a bit frozen. You know, I've been there where something big is going on in my life, and you could even call it kind of a shutting down or a numbing up. And then the energy moves, you know, and you feel a little safer, you can contain it. And I'll often see Chiron transits coming in and helping with the movement and the healing of what may have occurred for people 10 years ago, 30 years ago. You see? So there's no pressure. You know, and I get this a lot from clients, well, I should be doing this, and then a month from now, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, now you're limiting yourself to linear time, which is kind of a, you know, we often heal a step forward, maybe two back, and maybe two steps forward and one back. And to be compassionate in the process. You know, because Lord knows people don't need any more harsh internal dialogues with themselves. And that isn't usually how it goes anyway. If we're on this planet, it's about healing.
I can feel change is underway. I mean, for me individually, as long as I get away from the fear, I'm really fine with it. You know, I don't know what it's going to be, but I have to just kind of trust that the universe is going to be delivering something absolutely fantastic. Is that what we're going through? People are now becoming aware that there's a change or they're shifting. And
well, and you know, I'll assert that nothing's static, and you know, fantastic can be great from a higher level. When we're in it, it may not feel so fantastic. It can feel scary, and you know, things are changing, and I don't know where I'm headed. And you know, part of that can be the meditative process and the holding yourself process in the morning with meditation, whatever. I am so grateful for the increasing levels of peace that I experience on a daily basis. I am so grateful that my life, you know, includes more and more abundance. In every day, in every way. And abundance can come in very different ways that our minds aren't used to identifying. And so often we can see that in hindsight. But, you know, things are absolutely, we're having these big trigger points with the Uranus-Pluto squares, absolutely, where there's tension, the need to act, and ideally a release of some sort. You know, Uranus can see people wanting to react. But I'll assert that if we can sit with this for a bit as we're feeling the fear and to say, you know, this is okay, because that's what bravery is all about. It's like, I'm afraid, but I'm going to, you know, stay with this, or I'm going to take a step towards my nurturing. You know, this is about being the leader of your own life and being the author of your own life. And you know, changing the scripts too, because so much of how we perceive things are habitual belief patterns that were picked up years ago. And the foundation of education is about repetition, right? So for me, when I'm coaching and working with people, it's about, you know, the gratitude prayers. That's immediate application. And you can sit down and work with it in your mind saying, well, that's just stupid. Your super ego is screaming and saying, that's not true. You just stay with it. And you stay with it. And you stay with it. And then things will start, you know, there'll be pieces of your heart starts maybe opening a little more. And your mind says, well, yeah, you know, this was a pretty good day. And, you know, I am getting in the habit of saying, thank you for the beautiful weather. And thank you for that great conversation I had, and paying attention to the flow. Because being energetic beings, the more we pay attention to what is working, that expands. So part of this is habit,
right?
And doing it while your other parts are going, no, that's crazy, that doesn't work. And you just go, that's okay, you know, it's all right. It's kind of like reparenting yourself too.
Exactly.
And you let the kids kind of scream and say, no. And you go, no, we're going to do things differently. And that's not about negating or denying fear. It's also compassionately saying, yeah, I'm kind of afraid, but that's what bravery is all about, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a time for bravery and being your own leader, establishing a sense of leadership and parental controls over yourself, because that's, you know, that's really where the only power is.
So we're talking about really living the law of attraction, because if we're in fear, we're only going to be attracting more fear to us. But if we're trusting that this cycle and surrendering to whatever happens is going to be for the best, then we can just sit back. And I can tell you from experience, trusting feels a whole bunch better than fear.
And holding yourself in compassion, much as a parent would. I mean, because I just see people who live really harsh lifestyles, mm-hmm. You know, with the work that we have, with the information overload and the left brain firing all the time. And you know, we don't make enough time for the stillness, which is where the entryway is into law of attraction, my belief, is mm-hmm. in quiet. In nature,
right.
And being compassionate with yourself in the process. well, I haven't done this fast enough. Well, I'm not being good at it. I'm like, stop. See, that's part of the criticism and the fear and the conditioning and the dogma.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I said, well, who the heck are you to tell me what my timeline of healing is, right? You know, and releasing that from any kind of process. Well, my neighbor did it or whatever. No, that's unplugging and pulling the energy in and being with yourself in a very compassionate way, because we need more compassion on this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're so harsh with ourselves and hence with others. And it's the simple stuff that's often so hard.
Oh, that's so true. Oh, it's not the big stuff. We can really deal with that. It's the tiny stuff that sets us off.
Yeah, but it's that simple flow that when we're in flow, we know it. And it sounds like you're having some triggers and breakthroughs, and you're really connecting with some energy right now. I can just feel that from you.
I'm having a good time. I'm loving it, but I've put the fear aside, at least for today, and it's feeling good. So I'm going to stay here as long as I possibly can.
Yeah. And you know, so we have all of that, you know, occurring in October. On the 6th of October, we see Mars moving into Sagittarius, which is always interesting, because Mars kind of opened the portal for all the Scorpio energy, revved up people's egos and power issues, and now Saturn's coming in and saying, well, hold on a minute, you know. But Mars is moving into Sagittarius, which is, you know, about philosophy and law and religion and you know, and education and learning. So we're going to see that energy theme, you know, coming more into prominence through the election. And then October 10th is a beautiful alignment. I just love the Saturn trine Neptune. So we're talking about the planet that rules form and reality with Neptune, which is about universal love and compassion and creativity at its highest, at its not so functional, its delusion and addiction and all of that good stuff. But Saturn trining Neptune to me is about making the ideal Neptune real, Saturn. And, you know, so this is a nice grounding energy that this planet of structure and discipline is affording between Scorpio and Pisces through the, you know, second part of October, which is a nice grounding energy. And, you know, again, I encourage all of us in our creativity to focus on manifesting that in some way in your life that has some accessibility to you on a regular basis, whatever that is. And creativity has many different facets. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you like to sing in the shower and, oh, I just did it. And we'll do it every day. Does it feel good? Yes, it does. Okay, make that a part of your, you know, thing. But even going further, this can see some people who their labors of love have been hobbies, et cetera, who start to convert that into a business for themselves, which to me is the ideal. Because if you're doing something that you love, which is often a hobby initially, like me with astrology and my dream work, I was a kid, and so now it's my business, but it's not, you know, it's way more fun than business.
Oh, yes.
But to ponder the possibilities of making that a real, you know, revenue stream, something that you love and that's beautiful and it's creative and soothing and nurturing and healing. So Saturn's, you know, hooking up with Neptune for the first time in that way, which I really, really love. And then we're coming into November, Jewel.
Right off the bat, we have the election.
Yes, we do. And, you know,
can we just forget the election? I mean, are we? I don't think we're going to be able to, right, in some way or another. If we turn off the TV, we're going to see it.
Well, I mean, election is almost like a caricature of what a democratic process is. I mean, and I'm not going to get political. My Mars is in Scorpio, so it's tough, okay? I'll try not to. But yes, we have the retrograde. I shift into enforced cheerfulness that they do on the early morning television show. I've never been good at that, but I'll try. All right, Mercury retrograde. Okay. It's 6:04 p.m. Eastern time on Election Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, you can't make this up. And so before the polls are even, you know, closed, things start. And, of course, Mercury is information and how we think and our perception of information and the facts and analytical processes. So as we know, in Mercury, and we're going to feel it a week before, you know, because it starts stationing. And so it's an energy that isn't working at its full capacity. And that's an unfortunate / interesting coincidence in a period of time where tolling numbers and reporting facts is paramount and important. The last time we had this, as I think I shared, was the election of 2000. It was the Chad spread. Okay.
Gore and Bush, right. And Bush won, mm-hmm. and there was a great big stink about it with the vote. So you're saying that there's a possibility that there might be misinformation just by mistakes that happened with the polling? What about the actual election numbers?
You know, I've had people want me to weigh in, and I'm not a psychic. I'm just a reader of trends. I know what I would like to see happen of the possibilities. I'm concerned with Saturn in Scorpio and all of the sexual regulation and control issues surrounding sex, especially. We also see Eros, the god of love, moving into Capricorn on the 6th, which I just think is interesting, too, because Eros is about feeling passionate about things, and it is in the quintessential bureaucratic control sign of Capricorn. So, and I'm not going to surmise anything. I just think it's interesting to note that. So, and then to add even more to the soup, on the 13th, we have a new moon total solar eclipse at 21 degrees of Scorpio. So eclipses move things along, and they're outward events. And eclipses we can feel a month prior up to a month after, so into December. But the sun is also frequently symbolized by rulership. And solar eclipses can move rulership, authority, out of the picture. So it depends on who's declared the winner. Possibilities are that there's a reversal due to miscalculation, due to lack of integrity in some of the processes that we are seeing set up in different states, with polls being closed at certain times, suggested to negate some of the voters who need those after hours time to get to the polls. So there's a lot of maneuvering going on. So I really can't.
It's interesting that it appears to be all of the parties, not just one in particular, that seems to have some deceit going on. And the fact is, you can't trust any political party right now.
Well, our political system is kind of not working.
Yeah.
So nobody comes up as right.
It's not
providing some of the signs, but I don't know where the destination, where the
Okay, then we can safely assume that there is more than meets the eye, and perhaps we should just kind of stay in our homes and relax a bit before taking anything too serious.
Well, Mercury retrograde, we can't not talk, but Mercury is also where we go more internal too. We're not as willing to share our opinions or thoughts or ideas. So that just kind of naturally occurs with Mercury retrogrades. And people who have Mercury retrograde in their chart actually swim through these waters a little bit easier, because they're fine with keeping their own counsel or getting more in touch with their internal process. And, you know, in the month of November, Neptune and Chiron are also moving direct. These two keep moving in tandem, forward and back, retrograde and forward motion. in Pisces. You know, so this is interesting too, because, you know, healthcare is Piscean ruled. Chiron is about health, and, you know, Neptune, the arts, et cetera. So those two are moving in stationary direct in November. Then on the 16th, we see Saturn trining Chiron between Scorpio and Pisces, which again, Saturn is a stabilizer. Let's get real. Chiron is about healing, woundedness, compassion, teaching, and, you know, maybe even this could embrace the holistic health arena too. So Saturn is making very stabilizing connection with Chiron on the 16th, you know, although we'll feel that before and after. Then Mercury moves direct on the 26th of November at 18 degrees of Scorpio, retrogrades back into Sagittarius, right near that eclipse point, you know, within 3 degrees, which is pretty tight. So the feeling for me is that what we think we know earlier in the month, we don't. And so more information, fact, polling, numbers, et cetera, whatever, is going to be brought to bear as Mercury moves direct towards the end of November. And you know, I don't know how that would be or look like, but we always see that with Mercury. What we think we know during a retrograde, that's why all of us are always saying, don't sign documents, don't sign on the dotted line, because what you think you know, there's more information coming that you can't foresee or you can't perceive of, and to allow that space until at least after the 26th, if not the first week in December, when it picks up steam and starts to move out of its shadow mid-December. So it's just a kind of a smart way to work with energy, because when we go forth and make a lot of changes under Mercury retrograde, we don't have all the facts. It's actually an encouraged time to go inward more and to turn down the volume and the engagement and the emails and the phone calls and the social networking and spend more time with self and, you know, in quietude. You know, I always suggest that during Mercury retrograde, you know what, turn down the dial if you can, you know.
That's great advice. Meditate as much as you can during retrograde.
Float. And then on the 28th, Jules, we have a full moon lunar eclipse. So November is just chock full. And anybody who says with any authority or 110%, you know, what I can say is expect the unexpected during that month. And that's at 6 degrees of Gemini on the 28th. So this is also a culmination point of what we began back in May at the new moon solar eclipse in Gemini. So we see the cycle, so we start something. So everyone can think back to the May timeframe of things that were initiated in Gemini, you know, education, publishing, media, speaking, writing, marketing, buying, selling, and where it falls in your own chart. We should see some culmination, some validation around those areas in what we began last May. So that's nice. And then we move into December, which is another big heralded time frame, right?
Yeah, it sounds like we may not want to come back from Mexico, Jean. We may just want to put pinch a tail over there.
75, 80 degrees sounds pretty good to me, especially up here in the Outer Banks. The nor'easters start moving in and hang around for days. I'm like, boy, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, down in Cozumel.
Yeah, that's right. For the 13th of December, right?
Right. The day that we leave on the cruise.
Right. And it's a beautiful ship, by the way.
Yes, it is.
So we have the Law of Attraction cruise, mid-December, a nice pre-Christmas, pre-holiday gift you give yourself, because there's going to be fabulous speakers there too. And I want to go to the other speakers you were having, their workshops. I told her I want to work through all this because I want to go see the other folks who are presenting.
They're all great.
Yeah. And then we have the winter solstice, the much heralded, which is when the sun crosses the galactic equator. and the galactic center, which is the center of the Milky Way galaxy. So this happens every winter solstice, but this is making an exact point. And it's a huge black hole, this Milky Way, or what the Mayans called the Black Road. And a lot of people in various areas are feeling this alignment is the end of a spiritual gestation for humanity and heralds a phase or a shift because of the ascending galactic consciousness. I don't get into all the technical stuff and access to galactic intelligence. Now, you know, I don't know how to interpret that for you, except that, you know, Pluto and all of these planets that move outside of our certain galaxy, you know, can be too big for us to comprehend. So I'll even assert that the possibility of pulling what is transpersonal more into our personal experience in the way of knowledge and integration. But this is the arrival of the Aquarian age, right?
Right.
But I can never put something on a day. This has been a buildup of years, you know, this kind of alignment that we're experiencing. It's and will continue to be. So when people look at the day or the month, that's a little too limiting in linear time. But it's a shift, certainly, from a 13,000-year connection. As we move into, you know, Aquarius is all about humanity and the greater good. And are we our brother's keeper and what's good for all? Or are you on your own, or do you believe that we are here to be of service to others? So, you know, that's something to ponder. And many feel that this is a profound spiritual transformation for mankind, but I tend to be leery when so much weight is put in such a condensed time. I think there's a building up to this. And often we see that through the falling apart of things. You know, people often make change in chaos when they feel they have no other choice. That's when we're at our most creative.
Right. Right, we got to come up with solutions outside the box, right?
Right. But when things are taken away that we think has brought us security or is who we are, and they've washed away, it really opens us to what I feel is a highly creative engagement. Because it's the old axiom, well, I didn't have anything to lose. Mm. Gee, I'm glad you didn't have anything to lose when you decided to do such and such and went on to, you know, make a huge impact on the world, you know, for example. But you'll hear that from people. Well, I was at a place in my life where I felt I had nothing to lose. And that can be a highly creative time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have been going through that, too. You know, well, I got laid off from my job of 20 years and, you know, I have to. And spending my, you know, retirement, this and that, but we bought, you know, a this or that or a restaurant or, and you know, we've simplified without all the complications, the material trappings, and we're really happy. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing that a lot too. But there are a lot of people who are still in that process of looking at that which they feel they should be doing. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but if it's devoid of passion and if it you don't identify with what you're doing, that's where crisis starts coming in.
And we're still on December 21st, right?
Yep, the winter solstice, when the sun, winter officially begins, and it's the shortest day of the year in the Earth's rotational axis. We're farthest away from the sun.
So bottom line, this has to do with opening up our creativity, releasing our fear and actually becoming more spiritually aware, right?
I think we're getting more tools to work with. As you know, Saturn is shifting our focus, but Saturn is also aligning with these larger energies, Pluto, specifically Chiron. You know, Saturn's making a beautiful trine to Pluto on the 26th of December. At 9 degrees, and they're what is called mutual reception. So Pluto is in Saturn's sign of Capricorn, and Saturn is now in Pluto's sign of Scorpio. which symbolically means there's a lot of harmony there and reciprocity. And okay. So this would be about the establishment, about making changes and dealing with fear and laying down and developing different structures around money and resources and work. And you know, so this is supportive triangle. Triangles are always big supportive, you know, in a lot of different symbolism. So we finish out the year with a beautiful Saturn trine Pluto, where Saturn was square in the T-square aspect, you know, a year and a half ago. Now the transition is as well, we've made peace, we've dealt with some of that. Now we're moving into reciprocity and deeper understanding with the changes that have occurred over the past year and a half. So Saturn's making nice and is giving practical ways forward through the changes and transformations we've been experiencing over the past 2-3 years. So I see that as a big positive. But, you know, I do see restrictions in some areas too. And certainly financially, you know, again, paying down debt and being very aware of who owes what and what is this deal that we're entering into with others, and being really, being as clear and honest about our motivations, because that's the way through in the transformative qualities.
That's great advice. You know, it's true when they say that when you are debt-free, you have a new sense of freedom that you've never had before. So it's all about freedom, I think. So, Jean, what are you going to be talking about on our upcoming cruise?
Yep, I'm going to be talking about the energies of 2013 because, you know, there are shifts and a shift in our emphasis and in our focus. The eclipse patterns are changing to, you know, what were the communication access to the financial and resource access, which is much more of a grounded and transformative feel. And you know, it's just, if you're aware and have information, it's just tools. You know, I see this stuff as just having some insights and tools, and people decide for themselves and apply it to their own lives. But, you know, it's nice to know the trends ahead. And then we also have two more Uranus-Pluto squares in May of 2013, again in November of 2013, and looking at the surrounding landscape of those two squares. But the thing is the further along we go, the more we get used to the energy and what we need to do for ourselves. So, you know, again, I equate that to when you have a new car. It hasn't been broken in yet. You're not sure what the gas mileage is, and it still feels a little foreign. Well, we've been breaking in this year, and we're going to have a little bit more wisdom and experiential knowledge recently that we can use. And, you know, I believe people know themselves better than, you know, anyone else, which sounds like an oxymoron. But, you know, when you share this information with people, they can see the patterns in their own lives and explore some different possibilities.
I want to mention, because we're almost out of time, that you can go to JeanWiley.com and she does private sessions. I had a private session with her a couple of months ago, and I was so impressed by her accuracy. I could fully understand what she was saying, and it gave me so much information about what I could plan on. So I urge you to go to Jean and come on our cruise to meet her in person.
Well, thank you. You were every bit worth that $50 I slipped you. You're looking for a raise, aren't you?
No, just a drink on the cruise. We are all out of time, Jean. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing the scoop with us, and I am so looking forward to the cruise and getting to know you better.
Thank you so much, sweetie. I really, really appreciated it. Thank you.
And to all my wonderful listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back with another great episode of Law of Attraction Talk Radio next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us.
We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.